Welcome to the SysAdmin Show, the podcast that explains everything SysAdmins do and the technology they work with. I'm your host, Dustin Ribrick, here to give a jumpstart to your IT career. Today's show is episode number 47, Key Skills for Entering IT with Robert Colcutt. Well, hey everybody, and welcome back to the show. As we get started with this episode, I kind of want to put a PSA out there that I'm looking for some help with the show. The editing and producing side of this after the recording is done, it's just taken up a decent amount of my time, and mostly to the extent that it's not really a strong skill for me. It's something that initially it was kind of fun to learn how to do, and it made sense that I needed to learn how to use audio editors and get in there and tweak the show here and there and make it sound good. But it's not really a passion of mine, and that is causing me to delay getting shows out because I love the recording aspect and love talking to people or just putting out content, but I don't really love editing. And so shows will sit on the producing floor for days or weeks at a time, because I keep putting off editing them, and I don't want to keep doing that. So what I'm hoping is that somebody out there who's just a fan of the show and wants to get involved in a volunteer way would be willing to help with some of that. And what I'm looking for would be 2 hours of audio a month. That's basically two shows a month. A typical show is about an hour long, maybe even less. And I work with Adobe Audition, so you would need to have access to Adobe Audition yourself. Hopefully you already would. And somebody that has IT and sysadmin knowledge, because the hard thing is I can't easily get somebody to do this that just knows how to edit audio if they don't have that knowledge, because you're not going to know what to keep in and what to keep out. My plan would be just to send you the raw files, and you would then, using your knowledge, say, oh, this doesn't make sense, I better flag this, or this is how it's going to sound the best if I edit it this way. And that's kind of what I'm looking for. I have no idea if this person exists, if anybody would want to do this. I do know that if you continue on in something like this, it's a great experience and also a great resume builder. This is something that you can show kind of as part of a body of work to future employers that say, hey, I'm serious about what I do, and this is some of the work that I've done. And if this show ever got to a spot where it was making some sort of money rather than just being a hobby that I pay lots of hosting fees and software fees and sink my time into, then I would be happy to share that with whoever's helping me produce the show. But I don't see that in the future, so I'm not going to hang that out there as a carrot. So yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Hopefully it's just something that would be interesting to somebody out there, and you'd kind of be energized to do it and maybe learn about audio editing, or maybe you already know how, and you can just be kind of a somebody that helps with the show. And I definitely would publicize your name and anything that you want in kind of the show notes, right? At the either the beginning or the end of the show, wherever they fall in. And every single show, I'd say, hey, this show is produced by X, Y, and Z. And so your name would be included in every single show that you help produce. So that's good to get your name out there if that's something that you want. So yeah, just put that out there. You can email me, dustin@sysadminshow.com, if that is something that sounds interesting to you. And we can just start a conversation, no commitment up front, just start a conversation and see if we think it's going to be a good fit. Or not, in either way. And then I just, nice to meet another person if it doesn't all work out. So today's show is a conversation I recently had with Robert Colcutt, and he is based in the UK. This is my second UK interview with somebody over there. And you'll notice it takes us a bit to get our terms lined up. I'm just not used to the exact vocabulary that they use versus what we use here in the US. But we do get into some awesome kind of takeaways on the key skills for entering IT, which is our main topic for today. So I really hope you enjoy the show, and we'll be back after the interview with a few final thoughts. I'm here with Robert Colcutt. He is an IT technician, first line engineer, and Microsoft 365 specialist. Hey, Robert, how are you doing?
I'm very well, Dustin. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, my pleasure. Robert reached out to me on LinkedIn after seeing one of my podcasts with John Clark. And Robert's also in the UK and was just kind of got their interest to come on the show, and it all worked out. So I really appreciate you taking the time. And I'm interested to hear about your IT career, and also kind of our main topic for today is key skills for entering IT. So why don't we start with a little bit about you. How did you get into IT?
I came sort of a traditional route, really. I started using computers from when I was 3 years old. And then I've studied it up to university undergraduate level through school, college, and then finished at university with my bachelor's degree. So I got my first job straight away from university at a very local company, which is in the US headquartered, called Zebra Technologies, doing IT support all for clients all over Europe.
Oh, very cool. And so how long have you been in IT?
Working just over 2 years.
So you mentioned that you went to school, right? You did 4 years of school?
I did seven years in senior school and 6 years in primary.
Okay. So was any of that considered college, or was that all just primary school?
Here in the UK, it's primary year one to year six.
Okay.
And senior school, it's year 7 to year 13, because I stayed on for sixth form. And okay. Then before university, I did three further education courses in IT, the BTEC Level 2 extended, BTEC Level 2 first diploma, sorry, and the BT Level 3 extended diploma in IT. And that's how I got into my university.
Okay, very cool. Okay, so university is what you guys, what we call college or university here. Okay, and then your primary. So, so what specifically did you study in university?
I did a Bachelor of Science degree in computing, which was developed in conjunction with three of the big players, Microsoft, Google, and Cisco.
Okay, so was that focused on using computers and software, or was it more focused on actually programming computers and software?
It's more of a bit of everything, really. Covered programming, computer architectures, networking, software engineering, mobile systems, and even the modern cloud computing and network security and artificial intelligence zones.
Okay, so it really sounds more like less of the programming side and more on the using computers, focusing on getting ready for an IT support or IT admin type position.
Yes. And following that course, I mean, I had interviews for several jobs, for programming jobs, for technician roles. But undoubtedly, IT support is what I've always dreamed of working in since I was a small kid.
So how did you get that first IT job? And have you had the same job for the whole 2 years?
No, I've moved around a bit in my career to gain a bit more experience, because you've got to do that in the UK in particular with any IT job. I applied for an internship at Zebra Technologies just before Christmas 2016, 19th of December to be precise with you. So right on the deadline. So, and then I went for the interview, and then a few days later, I was awarded the position. And I started there in June 2017 when I finished my degree. And then I did that for about a year. Then I did some temp work for the NHS, refurbing computer equipment in the hospitals, which is more of a challenge, I'd say. And then I progressed to work for a managed service provider in Cheltenham, called PSU Technology Group, which covers everything from managed services, telecoms, and phone lines for customers. So I gained a variety of skills here that I might not have gained in another internal IT support. So I made the jump from internal IT to outsourced IT. And this is what I still do for my career now, working for another company called Focus Networks, who specialize in primary schools at IT support, which is something I've always wanted to get into because I used to help out at school quite a lot with IT issues. So it's a win-win for me, that this current job.
That sounds cool. So do you bounce between a lot of different schools?
I'm more of a service desk engineer, so I do most problems remotely, but I do all the Microsoft 365 evangelism for schools as well. I promote it and say, this is what you want, and I help out with the odd job there. And it's a wide variety, and that's what I know of, variation in education.
Have you been working from home recently, or were you before?
I was partly working from home, but I've been actually furloughed because there's not the work over here at the moment, because all the schools are still not at full capacity until September at least.
Gotcha. So as soon as they shut down, they didn't have the support requirements to keep you on.
Yeah, they didn't have the support requirements to keep me, but they kept me on the books. So when it does go back to normality in September, mid-September at the earliest, I think I'll be going back then to work.
Very good.
But I'm using this time wisely to learn new skills, like my Microsoft Teams Administrator Associate qualification and a bit of PowerShell as well, and creating some quick back file scripts to look up an IP address of a machine, which is something I'd heard yesterday.
A little bit of a side note here. When you're working with these different schools, how are you accessing their systems? Is there one kind of primary tool that your company uses to get into all the different schools, or does each school have its own tool that you have to have available to you?
We have something called a remote support management tool called ISL Night, which we can dial into servers, we can dial into client workstations.
Okay, so you're in that tool pretty much all the time, doing whatever you need to do. Cool.
Yeah, but it could be for patching, could be sorting out a user's snarky laptop. The list is endless.
And then if there's a lower level problem, maybe like with a boot record, right, or a BIOS issue, does that have to go to an on-premise person, support person?
That would require a site visit from one of the field engineers. So we've got two first liners, myself and one other guy, and we've got three field engineers who go out to customer sites.
Did you start in the field engineer position or not at this company?
Not at this company, because I sort of did like the field-based work when I was in my first job at Zebra Technologies.
So anything else about your IT career that you want to share with us?
Yeah, it's been quite a worthwhile journey from learning about IT from a very early age, from primary school to university level. I'd say one of the biggest things that stands me out from the crowd from others in the UK is my university Microsoft ambassador post. It's a student partner scheme that you can represent Microsoft and do events with them. And it's really benefited me immensely because I can sell myself, I can promote to large different audience and different audiences.
So you get a lot of those social skills up front from that program.
Yeah.
What age was that at?
I was 22 to 24.
Oh, okay.
I did it for 2 years.
Okay. So it was later on. It wasn't in primary or secondary school. It was later on.
No, it was in my university, at my university. I did it in conjunction with my course. So I'd say that's one of the biggest things that stood me out from the crowd.
And is this how you saw your career going when you were back in secondary school?
I'd say yes, because I'd always had a passion for Microsoft and IT support in whilst I was in senior school. I was always the one in my senior school that used, in the pupil side, that used to help pupils with IT issues and requests. And I actually created a 3D PowerPoint new joiner map with a number of school staff.
That's really cool.
And that's how my inspiration came from, actually, John Clark.
Awesome. So let's talk about people who are coming out of university, or maybe they're coming out of senior school and they want to jump right into the IT career. That may be different in the UK than it is in the US, but that's not uncommon here in the US. So what kind of skills should they be looking for, you know, to work on when they're looking to enter the job market?
If you're looking to go into the job market these days, you need an understanding, really, of the core components of a Windows network. So, for instance, Active Directory uses in computers, which is a centralized tool, which is a user account management tool to check accounts and users to groups. I'd say mobile computing as well is becoming more of demand now because everything is going on tablets these days, and you need to know how to set them up. And I'd say Office 365 as well, because that's very big, because every organization is on that now.
Now, are the schools that you support on 365, or are they on Google, the Google apps?
Most of our schools are on 365, Office, Microsoft.
Because they, I think both Google and Microsoft offer heavy discounts to educations, right? Educational.
Correct, they do.
I think it's going to be one of those two. It's pretty much where you're going to land.
Absolutely. I agree with you there.
Okay. So yeah, I see a huge benefit in the Active Directory, right? The Microsoft core competencies, and especially today, the 365, if the company's not there today, the company's probably going to be wanting to migrate there in the next 5 to 10 years. And if you're starting out in IT, you're probably going to be part of that migration, even if it's at the right, the technician level, it's still going to be a big deal.
Yeah, that's true. And I agree with you there because I've used Microsoft 365 Admin Center in all the roles I've been in. And they're very useful skills to learn. And also because they're useful skills to learn because it's where the future is of computing, really.
So how would you recommend somebody get that experience? Right, you could watch some videos online to see, to learn about it, but how would they get hands-on with that? What's the best way?
I'd say apprenticeships are now more coming into the market, and I'd say the best way is to learn an apprenticeship or get an internship if you're a university graduate.
All right, so get right out there and try to get in your hands on it in a working environment.
Definitely, because I feel, and it's how I've learned best, visual learning and hands-on learning in my career these days. Hands-on is far much more beneficial than someone just yakking on talking to you about it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I can only learn so much from somebody else, so you have to really get your hands on it for that to sink in and for you to really know what they're talking about.
Correct. And I think the best way to learn is by doing actually the activities, like assigning someone a license. It's all very well and good someone telling you what the license actually does. But as one of my ex-lecturers at college once told me, you can't break anything.
Right. Don't be afraid.
So don't be afraid to go and have a go.
Mm-hmm. I have seen that with people who are newer to IT. There is a lot of fear there, and they're worried that they're going to cause a big issue. So getting over that is a big part of getting your start in IT.
Yeah, don't be afraid to have a go and learn some stuff on YouTube, because there's dozens of videos out there on Office 365 admin skills, and there's tons of books on the subject now.
How about computer hardware? What should people be learning about the actual hardware that end users or servers?
I'd say the best way to do that is actually build a computer test snap yourself. I've actually just finished off creating my own home mini network.
Cool. You want to tell us about that? What's it consist of?
It's basically, it's got a classic gaming PC, which is on XP. Basically, I've got a lot of old classic games that only go up to that OS, and I wanted to make a server as well that can host a domain controller, a file server for all the old family photos. So it's got one workstation and one client in at the moment, but I hope to make it a bit bigger with two or three
workstations. Is this a virtual? Is any of this virtual, or is this all physical hardware?
It's all physical hardware.
Okay. So you're running a domain controller out of your own house?
Yeah, domain controller, a file server, DHCP server, a DNS server. I'm yet to explore a bit more print servers, but that's some skills I've got from one of my jobs, so I know how to create them.
And then you have the client computers in your house join that domain and get an IP from that DHCP server?
Yes, that's right. That's what I've done with the classic gaming PC. I took it off of my auction site of eBay, actually, and I just done it up a bit with what I wanted to have in it. It's got, I upgraded the memory in it from 2 gigs to 4 gigs.
Very good. Yeah, it doesn't take much. A lot of times the older hardware we have laying around or we can find for cheap, what makes a great test lab. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. It's because networking is a core function of an IT role these days. And I find it's very essential to have an understanding of networking fundamentals as well.
Yeah, what are you doing for a router?
Well, that is actually all hardwired into my EE box router. So it's all hardwired locally.
Okay. So is the router like an off-the-shelf consumer grade router, or is an actual enterprise piece of software you're running on a computer?
It's a non-commercial use. It's just a private router.
Okay. Because I've done quite a bit here with PFSense. I don't know if you've heard of them.
No, I haven't.
But it's a piece of software. It's I think it runs on Unix, but it's free. And it's a piece of software you can run commercial or non-commercial. And it is a full kind of like the equivalent of a Cisco level router as far as the power that it has, and it can run on almost any old computer you have laying around. So it's
I'll check that out.
It's pretty cool to throw into the IT home lab. So I have one that's running my whole house, and you know, then you can have the different firewall rules and the VLANs and all that off of it. All you need is a couple extra network cards on the computer, which are pretty easy to find.
Oh, that's awesome. That sounds really amazing. Yeah, I'll check it out.
It's a fun little project. All right. So what about cloud? How should people get into testing and learning about the cloud?
I'd say, again, the best way to learn this stuff, the modern cloud stuff, is by looking at YouTube tutorials and actually practicing it on a test lab, because the cloud technology does stand yourself out from the crowd. I mean, there's a stat from my university that 95% of people who did the cloud computing module got jobs within the first 3 months of them leaving and finishing their courses.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, because cloud is big these days, and it's where the future of computing is, because there's going to be no on-premise networks in the next 5 years. It's all going to be on virtual clouds as your data centers.
Right, we just need to get people online. Once they're online, they can get to all the resources.
That's right. That's right.
From things that we've talked about so far, are there any certifications that you've gone through that you think are critical that maybe people should start looking into?
I'd say, the Microsoft in Education website offer short courses for free with short quizzes at the end for free. And I'd say do a couple of these whilst you're at university or senior school, whatever you prefer, and you put it on your CV. It does stand you out from the crowd. But also, I've got the ITIL V4 Foundation qualification, which is a very good one that if you want to work in system support and any area of IT, because it tells you all about practices, best practices, how to maintain relationships with your clients. It's very heavy for ethical, but it's very worth the way of getting, but you have to prepare for it.
That brings up a good point, customer service. What kind of customer service skills should people be thinking about? And how do you get more customer service experience if you've not done anything but school so far?
If there's junior customer service operator jobs out there. Like a friend of mine worked in a Waitrose supermarket for a few years, developing his customer service skills with customers around the shop. And also working for an IT solutions provider that does covers education or generic customers, because these customers are having the latest tech brought to them by your service provider.
So maybe when you're in senior school, right? And you're looking for an after school job or a summer job, something that doesn't actually relate to IT, but is customer facing, would give you some of those skills.
Definitely. And I mean, it does help because I had a customer facing casual job from the age of 16 at a local events place. And that really helped gain my public speaking skills as well and working with the public and customer service, because I was a ticket checker advisor, and that helped me develop my approach to people and dealing with difficult customers.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I've noticed that, you know, some people, when they're first getting started, a lot of times it is their first job at all, let alone first IT job, and they're just not comfortable on the phone, right? It's not something that they've done a lot of, talking to strangers on the phone. So getting that experience early on can really help.
Yeah. And that's when I sort of started, look, Robert, here, this is an IT career for you, helping out users and customers. Because people often get confused these days that if you do an internal IT job, like your users that you're supporting are just users. And that's what people think, but they're not. They're your customers. You're providing a service to them. And that's really crucial to understand, I think.
Yep, I agree completely.
Yeah, about that. I worked in, well, I was working at Zebra Technologies, and you're going to get this in any business you go in dealing with difficult users or customers. There was one person that was quite blunt to me over Skype, and he wanted this. But then you've got to have the resilience to say, no, you cannot have that. There's a process I have to go through for you.
Yeah, it can be intimidating, but it does get easier when you have more experience doing that.
It does. I completely agree with you there, because the more experience you get, the wiser you are in the field.
So how about just general communication? You know, even emails, like the idea of how to compose an email and use appropriate, grammar and all that. Where do you think people should learn about that, other than just what they would get in, you know, senior school or university?
I'd say I've always said this in the last few years. People teaching you cover the skeleton of what you need to know for the real working world. But to further your skills, go on some short courses on the internet. There are dozens of sites out there that's what to learn, BBC Bite Size for school children here in the UK. And YouTube for kids now is a popular one. And so there's so many different channels, more channels than I had when I was in my senior school years. So you can see the internet has completely transformed from what it is from July 2011 to where it is now, June 2020. That's nearly 10 years. So you can see there how the internet is becoming more of a dynamic learning platform.
Yeah, in some ways, I think it's almost too big because there's so much to learn. People kind of get stuck not knowing what to learn.
I agree, because back in my primary school years and senior school years, well, the first couple of senior school years, it was very small, the internet. But with all these products coming out now, like Microsoft 365, Google Apps, all this cloud-based technology, it's opened up a whole new pathway for these like new students who have from in primary school to senior school have an explore of it, which I think was a bit of a security risk, because there's a lot of danger with these cloud technologies that they can take your personal details.
Yeah, you definitely have to be careful, and it's hard with kids starting so young. They don't necessarily understand the risks that are involved of being connected like they are.
That's definitely true. And one of the things that's crucial, and I was taught at university, is something called risk management embedded with some of my modules. So I knew I was quite well prepped for that from going out into the industry.
What do you think about learning during working hours, right, as part of the internships or part of your jobs versus working after hours, right, or learning after hours? What's the split for you? Did you learn most of what you've learned by doing it during the paid hours, or are you putting in time after hours to get to where you've been?
It's a difficult one, that. I'd say most of my experience, most of my learning has been on the job, about 95% of it. So I only do a little bit at home just to reinforce what I learned that day and just download a quick YouTube video or something just to recap it, make sure this is what I can do. And the best way to learn it, again, is set up a dummy test nap, as like we've discussed previously.
Okay. And how much time do you think that you're spending on your test lab?
I'd say about a good hour or two, because I'm learning a lot of new skills on the networking side, but I set up my dummy domain and Active Directory and DHCP as well.
Okay. So it kind of depends. If you're in a phase where you're learning new technology, then you're going to be spending more time after hours, you know, in your own test lab, versus if you're just trying to, right, maybe get up to speed on the roles and responsibilities of a new job, that's going to be mostly just during the work hours.
Yeah, I'd say I'd agree with you there, because if you're starting a new job, the best way to learn it is in the actual work environment, because you're dealing with their customers or their own users. So you can see for yourself what you're having to do. Then you can go home that night and then reinforce some of the concepts. Some of them you won't be able to reinforce because you won't have the software but installed on your machines, but you can sort of look up YouTube videos and say, ah, now that's what I know today. And then you can perhaps share it with your colleagues, because Microsoft Teams is so big for that.
Yeah. Anything else you wanted to share as far as key skills for entering IT?
I'd say one of the most key skills is like having a broad range of IT skills, not just one set.
Yeah, the idea of being just the database guy or just the web server guy is kind of gone. Right now, we're expected to know a decent amount about everything.
Yeah, I'd say, because I'd say that's where my degree stood me out as well. My degree from Buckinghamshire New University in High Wycombe in the UK, and because it covered everything from traditional programming modules, computing architectures basics, networking basics, to advanced topics in these areas.
Fantastic.
So it's I'd say get yourself a good degree that offers a range of skills, not just a database course, not just a web-based course, not just one of these computer science courses. I see so many of those around, and that's where sort of people are, I think, are losing out, because they're just, computer science is all about programming.
Yep.
And what I've done is computing, which covers from computer architecture's basics to advanced mobile development. Because that's what industry wants. They want people, particularly the big companies, Microsoft, Google, Cisco, and some other small companies, SMEs as they're known over here in the UK. They want people with a broad range of skills. One of the things that stood me out from my current job, in the current job I'm in, was my mobile computing skills and also Microsoft 365, because they want to move to the Microsoft Teams platform and SharePoint. And I said, I've got really strong experience with that.
All right. So what are you working on these days? What's going on kind of in your education or your home lab?
I'm currently doing a lot on Microsoft Teams, learning to become a Microsoft 365 certified Teams Administrator Associate. That teaches you how to deploy it, how to use PowerShell to deploy it, bit of everything. So I've used the Microsoft Docs knowledge base, which is a very invaluable resource. I can't stress that enough. Like, there's everything out there for me to complete this qualification and pass the exam, hopefully next month.
Oh, very cool.
So, I mean, you've got to do a lot of preparation for these big exams, because if you don't, you will fail them.
Yeah. And once you get that certification, pass that exam, is that going to open up some opportunities for you at your current employer?
I'd say so, because they want to have a person in there really who's got emphasis on cloud solutions. And Microsoft Teams is a big thing in the cloud. It's accessible anywhere in the world. You can access your Office 365 apps from when you work on holiday somewhere else, in Saudi Arabia, for example.
Very cool.
Yeah, so I'm trying to get more into the cloud-based technologies because that's what the future of computing is. And I have done some basic cloud-based work for my in my university course on like Amazon Web Services, building a simple cloud system.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I mean, I've got quite a broad range of like stuff I'm learning with Teams, PowerShell, a bit of computer networking stuff. I like to read. One of my favorite hobbies of my pastime is reading books of anything, but more these days it's all about computing. I subscribe to the For Dummies books, and they're so powerful to read because they're so detailed, and I'm a detailed person. I like to have a lot of words in front of me.
Yeah, that's really great. I mean, I see IT as a career, right, where you never stop learning, where you just keep, you know, the people that want to learn the most are going to be the most successful at it.
I agree completely, because there's a lot of people out there still who, once they got their bachelor's degree, they don't learn after, and that's really bad because it shows they can't keep up to date, really.
Yeah, especially if you just look at Teams in the last 6 months, right? That platform has changed dramatically because of the need to, since they're trying to keep up with other, you know, products like Zoom and Citrix WebEx. So they just keep adding features, which then you fall behind on if you're not keeping up with it.
Yeah, and I've bought, there's been a book published for Microsoft Teams in education settings just in the last month, and I've been reading that for my job because I'll be having to help probably some users with that when I go back, when I do go back eventually.
Yep, fantastic.
So reading is the way forward for IT professionals in any role, not just system support. It can be consist of mobile computing, a machine learning developer. It could be a system developer. It could be a computer architecture consultant. You've got to read around the topics, make sure you understand them.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. All right. Well, where can people find you or follow you if they want to keep tabs on what you're up to?
Basically, my LinkedIn is my best page because I share a lot on there with current technology trends and what I'm up to these days, and also Instagram. But I say mostly LinkedIn because that's where I have most of my connections. Because I was quite lucky when I want some questions about something from Microsoft, I've got contacts in the UK from my student ambassador partner role, so I could just email them and they could just respond to me within about 5 to 10 minutes.
It really helps knowing those kinds of people.
Yeah, it does. You're correct. And it's been actually a massive benefit to me for these smaller jobs I've been in. And I've always got them, the smaller companies, when I've said that.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Robert. I really appreciate talking to you.
No, my pleasure, Dustin. It was nice to come on the show, and I hope we can do another one soon.
All right. Talk to you later.
Cheers, Dustin. Bye.
Talking with Robert was amazing. He's really paying attention and working hard at his career. And I can tell that in like the 5 to 10 year future version of himself is really going to be thanking him for the work that he's doing now. He's putting in, you know, the time and effort now. He's a year and a half, 2 years into his IT career, he said. So he's still pretty early in his IT career, and he's already come quite a long way. He's seen a few promotions, and that's just going to keep happening if he keeps taking his career as seriously as he is. It's awesome to see people who are happening to their career rather than their career just happening to them. I mean, you really want to make sure you're being proactive and learning the things that you need to learn to grow yourself, not just the things that your employer needs you to learn or you just happen to be learning on the job. So I really applaud him for that. And that just makes me think, you know, don't wait for opportunities to come up before preparing, right? Prepare now for the opportunities that you want to be able to take advantage of when they arrive. Because if you're not preparing now, then that opportunity is going to show up and you're not going to be ready and you're going to miss it and it's going to pass you by. So definitely think about where you want to be in 5 or 10 years and start preparing now so that when the things that happen, you know, maybe a more senior employee that you work with leaves and moves to a different role or a different company, that's where you have the opportunity. Hey, I've been preparing for this. Put me in. I'm ready to take on that more advanced role, right? That doesn't happen all the time, but if you're waiting for that to happen before you prepare, then when that happens and they look at you and they're like, well, you're really not qualified and you're not doing anything to get yourself qualified, why would we put you in this role? So do yourself a favor, your future self, and start preparing now for what you want. You may not need the promotion now. You may not want the promotion now, but you're going to want some sort of movement eventually. And it's, these things do not happen quick, right? It takes time, and kind of showing a commitment to growth over a period of time, you know, stability. That's what employers want to see. So start doing that now, make a plan and work towards it. That's all I have for today. I want to hear from you. Questions or just to say hi, you can send me emails, dustin@sysadminshow.com. You can find me on LinkedIn and you can follow me on Twitter @sysadminshow. And until next time, I encourage you to never stop learning.